right. How's it going, everybody? It is Monday night, June 26th, 2023. The final Raw heading into Money in the Bank. I want to welcome everyone for your Raw post-show. We'll give you the updated lineup for Money in the Bank, some ratings, tidbits, some news, and a quick plug. Just a reminder for everyone out there. Tomorrow night, Kev Castle and yours truly will be recording Money in the Bank preview and predictions. Seven matches confirmed, and this is going to be a banger. I already know that more than half of the matches on the card, Kev and I totally disagree on the outcomes. So this is going to be a fun one. That will go down live on Patreon at 10.05 p.m. Eastern. If you're not a part of our Patreon family, no worries. It'll be on DonTony.com after midnight, Tuesday night for everyone. So definitely look out for that. Yeah, I had to do that little intro because some of the wild emotion running wild yesterday about Forbidden Door, I watched most of it already, and I will reserve my thoughts for Wednesday. But, you know, just seeing the weird emotions of some. I mean, look, you love an event. That's awesome. You know, to guilt people into feeling the same way you do. Kenny Omega's neck buckling, and because people are concerned about that and thinks that that might be a little bit careless, how dare you knock my favorites? Do you imagine some of the stuff from the 90s, if it would air on TV today, what's how social media would react to it? And I'm not even talking about Attitude Era dumb shit. You know, I'm talking about in-ring moves, you know, some, I mean, I think of some right off the, but we'll talk about that Wednesday. Tonight, we want to focus on WWE. Not a bad Raw episode, but I'm not going to lie to you. Something seemed missing tonight, and I know it was the go-home show for Money in the Bank. You look at the match results, I mean, even if Vince's fingers were all over this, I can't complain all that much. Again, as we discussed over the weekend, the idea that Nick Khan was upset that Vince shuffled up SmackDown is asinine. The idea that WWE is trying to stop Vince. Do they, planet Earth, do they realize his company is sold? Do they realize that there's a merger and acquisition going on? Do they understand what the deal is? I mean, I think, honestly, I think a lot of these journalists and shows are laughing at the IWC, that they could just see how much can we sucker them? How far could we go with this? And the worst part about it is a lot of common sense stuff, you know, it's turned into news. Last week on Wednesday Night Dynamite, when we talked about Balor showing up and Carmelo Hayes making the save for Seth Rollins, the after-match promo from NXT where Seth Rollins thanked Carmelo Hayes and he had his back, we said that night, don't be surprised if you see Carmelo Hayes take on Finn Balor before Money in the Bank. It was common sense. And people guessed, but they write it as a news story. And that's what we got tonight. Carmelo Hayes getting a clean loss, I don't know how I feel about it. I have mixed emotions, and I'll tell you why. If you followed wrestling long enough, you know that wrestlers in developmental, even champions, have lost to main roster stars. Many times back in the day, it would be a dark match. You would have the OVW champion. Yeah, and listen, you want to go back to Leviathan, you want to go back to the days of Cena still in OVW and others, and you know, somebody was a champion, they would have a dark match on Raw and lose. Honestly, I don't remember on my hotline people butt hurt that a minor league champion lost to a major league star. That's not disrespect to the minor league champion, but it's the same thing if you want to use sports. you know, baseball, if the AAA Yankees take on the Maine Yankees and the AAA Yankees are the champions, you know, I mean, it's eat a Snickers, seriously. At the same time, though, for those that are not happy with Carmelo losing tonight, I will say this. Why wouldn't Baron Corbin just cause a DQ victory or a DQ loss? You know, why not have Baron Corbin get involved in the match? Maybe he cheap shots Carmelo Hayes, and this leads to Finn Balor. I mean, I understand they want Finn Balor to look like he is in the zone. He didn't even come out for the main event for Damian Priest versus Cody Rhodes tonight. Finn Balor is in the zone. That promo that he cut today, beautiful. We know, listen, let me tell you something. We know what the outcome of that match is going to be at Money in the Bank. But for the most part, we all don't care. We are just invested because Balor is so on point right now, and Rollins is hitting on all cylinders. You know that they are going to tell an amazing story in that ring. If you want to use the AEW comparison, look last night. You know, you look at Ospreay versus Omega. You look at Okada versus Danielson. Whichever way the outcome would have been in those matches, it didn't really matter. You just got a banger of a match. It's a shame with Danielson. You know, he might have a fractured arm and maybe out for a little bit of time. We don't know yet. We'll talk about it Wednesday. But, you know, they could have simply just had Baron Corbin show up. Cheap shot to Carmelo Hayes. He loses anyway. I guess the clean victory just wants to show that Finn Balor is all the way up here and Carmelo Hayes is still over here. So, but not a bad episode of Raw. I mean, the lead-in was good, and we'll get into it in a few moments. Just 2 points of news I wanted to share with you for a minute. WWE has 2 premium live events coming up later on this year. And I know a lot of my homeboys here live in the Pittsburgh area. And if you are interested, WWE Payback is going to be taking place September 2nd. WWE was touting today that this is the first premium live event in Pittsburgh in 5 years. Tickets go on sale Tuesday, tomorrow. If you're tuning into the show Monday night, it is Tuesday the 27th of June at 10 a.m. So if you want to get tickets to see WWE Payback September 2nd, tickets go on sale tomorrow. Now, unfortunately for all of you out there, I will not be able to cover that event. I will be in Florida from September 1st to September 9th. If, you know, I have the capability, maybe I'll do a quick live stream while I'm on location. Don't expect it to be all that professional. It might end up being audio only, but I will be in Florida for 9 days. Another thing is WWE Fastlane. Oh, and by the way, yeah, if you look back on this, yes, Roman Reigns is not on the poster, but as you see, there are Raw and SmackDown stars together. Remember, people were claiming that we were getting roster splits for premium live events, which was stupid. Then we got Fastlane announced for October 7th, Indianapolis at the Gainsbridge Fieldhouse. First pay-per-view / premium live event in Indianapolis in 7 years. If you're interested to going to that show, tickets go on sale Friday, July 14th at 10 a.m. So maybe you want to go check that out. Wanted to give a little bit of props. I saw this over the weekend, and it's becoming a pattern on the shows that we open up the show with a feel-good moment. You know, we talked about Roosh, you know, being the proud dad of a baby girl. We talked about one of the iconics, you know, getting pregnant, Billy Kay. We talk about other nice little things going on. You know, I know he pisses off some people, but you know what? Want to give a little bit of props to Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff this weekend had his head shaved bald. Raised $13,500 for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. And that's a pretty cool thing to do. Very, very nice gesture. Definitely deserves a little bit of props for that. I know almost everyone out there is not going to even mention it. And you know what? I'm not trying to put myself in the same position as Eric Bischoff. Didn't raise anywhere near that amount. I think I may have raised $3,000. But if anybody that might want to get a kick out of it, yours truly shaved his head 13 years ago. That is me, 13 years ago, shaving my head for St. Baldrick's, which is also for children's cancer. I did it on my birthday, spur of the moment, shaved my head, raised about $3,000, and there's my pooch that unfortunately is no longer with us. But I still think about him all the time, and yeah, we got to take that picture down before I get pissed off, before I start getting a little bit too emotional. Don't forget, you know, big SmackDown this Friday. You know, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. It's not happening in Money in the Bank, everyone. It's Money in the Bank weekend. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens will be defending the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships against Pretty Deadly. We also got Asuka defending the WWE Women's Championship against Charlotte Flair. Then we have Roman Reigns. He will be in attendance now with Money in the Bank taking place the next day. You know that there's going to be Uso involvement. You know there's going to be Solo Sikoa involvement. So you know that SmackDown's going to close out pretty wild. And just to trigger a lot of people out there, the Grayson Waller effect will have Logan Paul on. So Logan Paul, you know he is going to diss the shit out of London, England. And that leads into Money in the Bank. I'm shocked that Logan Paul right now is the favorite to win Money in the Bank. I really don't see it. I mean, we've talked about it. And yeah, I can picture him going all across the globe with the belt. You know, it's kind of like what they were doing with the 24/7 title right before that was over. But we'll talk about it Tuesday with Kev. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, I'll give you one more news tidbit for now that I think you probably get a kick out of. Check this out. Trinity, the former Naomi in WWE, she landed a movie role. And I think a lot of you probably aren't aware about this movie, but she actually, this is, I guess, her promo shot, her headshot for the talent agency that she's a part of. But she landed a spot in the movie that is being filmed right now. Not tonight, 11 o'clock at night, but it's being filmed in Kentucky, I believe. Queen of the Ring. Queen of the Ring. It is a movie about Mildred Burke. I'm sure you've heard of her. She wrestled, you know, before any of us were alive. Trust me, if you were alive when Mildred Burke was wrestling, then you are extremely old. You might even be in Guinness World Record territory. She will be in that movie. But three things you probably don't even know about that movie. First of all, it's being directed. Well, he's one of the directors. Jim Ross is actually one of the directors of this movie. Now, I don't know some of this cast and crew. You want to Google it, go right ahead. You'll get a whole bunch of information. But I took this from their website. Charlotte Flair and Liv Morgan are wrestling in this movie as well. So, yeah, Queen of the Ring. Start looking it up. Trinity will actually have a spot in that movie. So, you know, wish her well. And, you know, Jim Ross, you know, hey, he's resting. You know, listen, we got to be concerned about Jim Ross. I mean, I know tonight is about WWE, not AEW, but this is a human being, you know, just human concern. You know, he's up there in age, and he's had big-time health issues in the past. In fact, this is not a joke. I'm dead serious when I say this. I have been taking Ambien, Zolpidem, which is the generic version of Ambien, to sleep. I've been taking it now for probably about 13 or 14 years. If I remember correctly, Jim Ross had a mild stroke or he had some major health issue because of taking Ambien for like 20 or 30 years. And I want to get off it so bad, but I can't sleep. It's stress, it's pain. There's a lot of reasons why, and I take it. And believe me, when I don't take it, once in a blue moon, I get vivid dreams. I can't sleep. I just feel awful. The reason why I mention that is that in the back of my mind, I still think about Jim Ross having his major health issue. He had, I'm pretty sure it was a mild stroke from taking Ambien. And that's always stuck in my head. I'm like, holy shit, I don't want one day that that happens to me. So, you know, the longer I take it, the more concerned I get. But, you know, when you get up there in age, shit, before Scott Hall passed away, how many times did we have conversations on this show that we know people who have fallen, broke their hip, and died from it? It's crazy. It's crazy. You would think, oh, you get a plate, get screws, you know, you heal, you get back to, you know, doing things in, you know, in a matter of time. No, and you get up there in age, a simple fall could cause a blood clot, aneurysm, crazy shit. And Jim Ross has had a couple of falls lately. You know, you start losing your, you know, sense of coordination, sense of balance. You know, that's serious. So we send our thoughts to Jim Ross. Absolutely. Good old JR. So, all right, guys, let's run down Raw. Let's get into it. Raw tonight. Savannah, Georgia. It had a couple of childish, goofy moments. And I'm not even talking about Cat in the Hat. If you watched Raw, you know why I said that. We open up Raw. And Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley are in the ring. And Dominic Mysterio has the microphone. And Dominic, for some reason, wants to welcome everyone to Monday Night Raw. You know, every time Dominic goes to say something, the crowd interrupts him. So he says, welcome to, and the crowd interrupts him. He waits a little bit, says it again, welcome to, crowd interrupts him again. So Rhea Ripley takes the mic and she says, I got it from here. Rhea Ripley tonight got heat. I mean, she's with Dominic, obviously she gets heat, but tonight it was a little bit extra heat. So she gets on the mic. She calls Cody Rhodes a loser and a wannabe. And at Money in the Bank, Dominic Mysterio is going to end Cody Rhodes. And she's getting heat and Cody Rhodes, his music hits. He comes out, and I thought this was stupid. I thought it was childish, goofy. It's a Vince McMahon thing, absolutely. And trust me, I'm not getting on that bandwagon like all these other goofs out there. You know, oh, Vince, rumor has it, Vince rewrote Raw. I don't give a shit. If I enjoyed it, I don't care what he did. I enjoyed SmackDown. Trust me, I didn't want to see Baron Corbin versus Cameron Grimes. I didn't want to see Shotzi versus Bayley. Made no sense in the beginning. Shotzi going up to Adam Pearce. Adam. Bayley's putting up her Money in the Bank spot. You got to book the match. Adam. Really? Well, why would Bayley do that? Io Sky did it. Oh, well, in that case, LA Knight pinned the WWE Hall of Famer on SmackDown. People are complaining. Sheamus and Ridge Holland are probably going to stuff you with Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. People are complaining. Come on. People are just complaining simply because they're complaining. So Cody Rhodes hits the ring, and I thought this was stupid tonight. Cody says, Dom, I think I know what you're trying to do. So Cody says, Savannah, Georgia, welcome to Monday Night Raw. That wasn't stupid. Dominic's reaction to it was stupid. Dominic is yelling to Cody Rhodes, I wanted to say it. That is dumb. Dumb. It just was stupid. So Cody Rhodes is out there, and he's having a little bit of back and forth with Rhea Ripley at first. Rhea Ripley says, Cody, you could try to bully Dom all you want, but Dom is a dangerous man. And then Cody starts referencing the Cat in the Hat. Why? he's referencing a children's book because he thinks Dominic is still a scared little boy. He tells Dominic, go ahead, be who you are, say how you feel, because somebody once said, those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. And he tells Dom, that was from The Cat in the Hat. And he's basically belittling Dominic Mysterio. He wants to see if Dominic Mysterio is half the man that his father is, or if he's still mommy's little boy. So that was all good. The Dominic reaction to, I wanted to say welcome to Monday Night Raw, was stupid. So Dominic and Rhea Ripley, they walk off, and Cody says, don't run away. Come on. Damian Priest isn't running away. We're facing each other tonight for the first time ever. Dom, I'll even give you a free shot. Come back here. So Dom comes back. We're teased as if Dom is going to get a free shot on Cody. Dominic backs off again. Chicken shit pussy. Beautiful. That was good. You can't have them two. You got to have Dom continue to be the chicken shit, because all hell breaks loose this Saturday. So, as Dominic walks away for a second time, Cody says that you're stepping into a different body of water. And Money in the Bank. We'll see if you're half the man your dad is or if you're mommy's little boy. It was good. Very good. This, I don't know how I felt about going right into Money in the Bank. I mean, I'm a Ricochet fan, but I really don't understand the point of this. I know to generate a little bit of heat between Ricochet and Nakamura, but I personally think if they were going to have the one-on-one, maybe you do it after Money in the Bank. And I know some people are going to say, well, no, you want to do this now because you want them to be even more foes going into Money in the Bank. But that's not really what happened during this match. Because while Nakamura and Ricochet are doing this match, you had Bronson Reed, who looked like he was dressed for a funeral. I mean, somebody, you know, said to me, he looks like the Samoan gangster party, or he looks like, no, to me, he looked like somebody that was dressed for a funeral. But he's at ringside. He gets involved a little bit, ends up getting ejected, but ultimately, Ricochet beats Nakamura with the shooting star press. So, you know, I personally think, you know, you're going to keep Bronson Reed in this picture, you know. Maybe you do it after Money in the Bank. I don't know the purpose of this match tonight. If anything, you know, we've had Nakamura now lose two out of the last three matches. You know, remember Nakamura beating Cross and going into Raw? And remember people like, oh, they're going to really seriously. Remember Nakamura's video package leading into his match with Cross? Do you remember the kick, kickboxing, whatever he was doing? We watched that video package like, holy shit, they waited all these years to really make it look like Nakamura would take him more seriously, that he's going to be a threat. Maybe we get a really good feud with Nakamura versus Seth Rollins almost right off the bat. And within one match, come on! For some reason, I think people probably think I did a better impersonation of Ralph Cramden than Nakamura. Am I wrong? I felt like Ralph Cramden just out. Nothing! Nothing! How would you like... No, we can't say that. Eddie Murphy Raw, by the way. Raw! Welcome to Eddie Murphy Raw. I still have the VHS of that, by the way. All right. All right. Matt Riddle issues a challenge to Gunther for Money in the Bank. Apparently, Matt Riddle's ankle feels a hell of a lot better this week. So Matt Riddle issues the challenge, and here comes Ludwig Kaiser. He shows up. He gets into Matt Riddle's face. A little brawl ensues, and here comes Gunther. Gunther looks at Matt Riddle and says, challenge accepted. And what does Gunther do? What we usually see happen with Matt Riddle, he gets his ankle stomped once again. Gets his leg stomped. Riddle is laid out. Hey, it's smart. Because if I'm fighting someone and they got bare feet, I'm going to step on their fucking toes. You know, unless they got some serious nerve damage somewhere, that shit's going to hurt. That shit's going to hurt, man. So they smash on Riddle a little bit more. So Riddle, once again, back in Joey 924 territory. So we go to commercial. We come back, and Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley are with Adam Pearce. And Dominic Mysterio wants to fight someone big tonight. Someone big. Yeah, I kind of feel like Vince was all over that as well. Finn Balor, this was the promo I was talking about earlier. Finn Balor cuts an amazing promo. There we go. Finn Balor cuts an amazing promo, and he's talking about how Seth Rollins wanted the Finn Balor of 7 years ago. Well, that Finn Balor is dead. The current Finn Balor is much worse. He then goes on to recap what happened 7 years ago, and he says that with all of the injuries that he had, he still beat Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins laughed at him. Laughed at him, which he will never forget. And he said that Seth Rollins made him bitter, and that has never left him. And what Rollins has now, the fans, the goofy outfits, the champion, it doesn't matter. What matters is vengeance and winning the World Heavyweight Championship. Finn Balor is on all symbols, all cylinders right now. Symbols. Cylinders, excuse me. I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved the Demon gimmick. But honestly, every time somebody says right now, oh, we need Demon Balor, I think people forgot about the feud that Seth Rollins had with Finn Balor as the Demon. Because we used to joke, take a shot, every time Seth Rollins would say, Demon King, Demon King, Demon King. You remember that? It was not good. And WWE wants us to remember only the night that Finn Balor faced Seth Rollins when Finn Balor got injured. We're supposed to forget about the Authority. We're supposed to forget about the Demon King. We're supposed to forget about a lot of the other things that were going on. Trust me, you do a Google image search. Here's a good thing. If you do a Google image search, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, right now, I was looking for some good photos, you know, to prepare for some stuff for the recap. And I saw all of the moments over the years, and I was quickly reminded, I'm like, holy shit, they actually brawled and feuded a lot more than I remember. And then I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh God, yeah, I remember it now. The Demon King. Demon King. Like Seth would say it so many times, it just sounded unnatural. It was not very good. But Finn Balor tonight, beautiful promo. Everything that he's doing right now is spot on. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing where this goes. Yes, again, we know the outcome, but maybe you don't have a one and done. This might be something that you can extend this for a little bit longer. Why not? If it's that good, why wouldn't you want it extended a little bit longer? So we're going into Money in the Bank with a little bit of momentum for Finn Balor. So getting back to matches tonight. This, not much of a match. Ronda Rousey defeating Raquel Rodriguez. And I'll say this. I mean, I watched NXT, her entire run in NXT. And right before our very eyes, we saw how dominant she became. I still remember that night when we had that moment with Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, and I think wasn't it Raquel Rodriguez, Raquel Gonzalez, holding up championships? Maybe I'm wrong. For some reason, I remember Raquel Gonzalez involved in that. Maybe not. But I will say this. She came to the main roster. And suddenly, I mean, I'm a big fan now of Chris Van Vliet. But she's like doing the best impersonation of Chris Van Vliet. She walks down to the ring. You could stick a needle up her ass. You could step on her feet. You could kick her dog. You could steal her purse. And she's smiling. Wouldn't stop fucking smiling. You know, you cheap shot her, she's smiling. It's a wonderful day. Thank God. Thank God they stopped that. But if you look closely, yeah, Trish Stratus, obviously, beyond her prime. Still looks good, though. Ronda Rousey, obviously not extremely polished in the ring. Could definitely hold her own. But if you look closely, Raquel Gonzalez, whichever you want to call her, Raquel Rodriguez is dominant. And she, in my opinion, deserves better. You could tell that if WWE pulls the chains off, which is a 20-minute banger, she probably could deliver. You see her matches closely, they are really, really pulling back on Raquel Rodriguez. You could feel it. You could see it. Even with her offense tonight against Ronda Rousey, you're watching like, man, she is good. And they pull back. And it's always something stupid that causes her to lose. Now, Shayna Baszler is at ringside. And so is Liv Morgan. And rightfully so, because if you're not aware of it, there you go, it's better. Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey will be defending the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. And I still think that they're going to give them new titles, especially with NXT pretty much being done with the women's tag team titles. They're going to be defending against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez at Money in the Bank. So both tag partners are at ringside. Shayna Baszler tries to get involved, and this was a cool moment. Yeah, Liv Morgan taking her down, beating her down. Everybody popped with it. But unfortunately, Raquel Rodriguez gets distracted. So what happens? Ronda Rousey with the roll-up, and she gets the win. So that's what we have. You almost felt like maybe Liv Morgan or Raquel Rodriguez gets a win, even if it's over Shayna Baszler tonight, to give a little momentum going into Money in the Bank. But we did not get that. We did not get that tonight. So next we have Seth Rollins. He comes to the ring. And Carmelo Hayes is sitting at ringside. And Seth Rollins shouts out Carmelo Hayes, gets a nice reaction from the crowd, gets a nice NXT chant as well. Seth Rollins is thanking Carmelo for having his back Tuesday, and he wants Carmelo Hayes to beat bum-ass Corbin on tomorrow's Gold Rush, week two. So now Seth Rollins focuses on Finn Balor, and he talks about how Finn Balor has not accounted for Seth. When it's just them two in the ring, the best version of Finn Balor cannot beat the best version of Seth freaking Rollins. And that's a bitter pill that Finn Balor is going to have to swallow. And then as Seth Rollins closes out his promo, I am a visionary. I am a revolutionary. Finn Balor comes out. They start brawling. They go around ringside. Finn Balor gets a little bit of an advantage on Seth Rollins, works on the midsection a little bit, grabs a chair, and is about to chair bash Seth Rollins, and Carmelo Hayes grabs it. So we see a little bit of a stare down between Carmelo Hayes and Finn Balor, and that was just enough of an opportunity for Seth Rollins to regain his comeuppance. Spell that. Props to anybody. Well, people will Google it if I say spell it. But anyway, Seth Rollins jumps Finn Balor from behind. Finn Balor storms off. Seth Rollins, a couple little scratches on his face, showing a little bit of blood. But Finn Balor backs off. And then we find out that later on in the night, we're going to get the match that we talked about earlier. It's going to be Carmelo Hayes in a non-title match taking on Finn Balor. We see a recap from last week with Tommaso Ciampa's return, and we think that we're getting a rematch tonight, Tommaso Ciampa versus The Miz. Unfortunately, the match did not happen. Tommaso Ciampa comes out first, and as he did, Miz attacked him, leaving him laying, and beat him down pretty good. This was just to milk another week or two, obviously. Leaves him laying, we get no match. So it doesn't happen. Now we get another backstage segment. And, you know, this we knew that this match was going to be happening tonight. It was one of the matches that was mentioned earlier online. We have Gunther, Ludwig Kaiser, there in the back. And here comes Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens, full-blown anger issues. And Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens want to fuck with Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser a little bit. Ludwig Kaiser, you know, I don't know if anybody noticed the last 2 weeks, going a little bit of in and out of with his accent a little bit. Did it again tonight. And they're basically doing a reverse. They're telling Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, leave us alone, not tonight. You know, not this is not the right time. And Sami Zayn's like, oh, so this is not the right time. And Kevin Owens, obviously, on speed. You know, he's just a mile a minute complaining to them, talking about what happened with Riddle earlier. And then Sami Zayn mentions that Gunther did beat Kevin Owens a few weeks ago, but he needed three people to do it. Sami Zayn issues a challenge tonight to Gunther. You and me, one-on-one. And Gunther says to Sami, okay, you want to ride my coattail just like Riddle, just like Kevin Owens. Sami, be my guest. So tonight, Gunther versus Sami Zayn. We'll get into that match in a little bit. But first, we get a different match. Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley, they hit the ring. Dom's getting booed out of the building. And they want to know. They want to know what you're thinking. Tell me what's on your mind. I heard that earlier today. That brought back memories. No, they wanted to know who is Dominic's tag team, his opponent tonight, not tag team. And we get the graphic. Who's going to be Dominic Mysterio's opponent tonight? Somebody big. And it ended up being Akira Tozawa. I mean, I like Akira Tozawa. It's kind of amazing that he's mapped out the career that he's had. Talk about someone who has made the most with not so much in the ring. Now, it does make sense because last week Tozawa was wanted to team with Cody. Cody appreciated it. And, you know, he appreciated his hair and this and that. So Tozawa wanted to have a little bit of interaction here, but you knew what was going to happen. Match lasted a couple of moments. If you remember that debacle of a match between Rhea Ripley and Akira Tozawa that, you know, we talked about from the get-go, people still to this day are convincing us, no. I had it firsthand. WWE is going to bring back intergender matches. Go Google how long ago that match went down. Say it long enough, it'll happen. So Akira Tozawa had a little bit of an awkward moment staring at Rhea Ripley tonight. That allows Dominic to get the upper hand. And the next thing you know, we get a little bit of a frog splash. 1, 2, 3. Dominic Mysterio defeats Akira Tozawa. Really not much there. Not much at all. This, I don't know, it kind of like fell off the rails. We had the Women's Money in the Bank Summit. And unfortunately, this was not anywhere near what we were hoping from yesteryear with Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho and Sami Zayn and everybody else who was involved in that match that night. So you have all the women in the ring, and obviously everybody has their cue. Everybody has their lines to say. So we get Bayley, and Bayley is touting that she is the only one who has won Money in the Bank. And the next thing you know, Io Sky gets the microphone. I win. I will win Money in the Bank. Bayley looking healthy. People know what I mean. I think that was kind of like trending on social media earlier. So Io Sky touts victory. And then we get Becky Chance, and Bayley starts trading insults with Zelina Vega. And Zelina Vega says that she and Santos Escobar will bring the briefcases home to the LWO. Zoe Stark with a couple little insults, and then Trish Stratus gets on the mic. Trish Stratus calls them all little girls. She is a woman. She is the best woman to have ever done this. And when she grabs the briefcase on Saturday, every one of those girls will say, thank you, Trish, for allowing us to be part of such a historic moment. And then Trish Stratus looks at Becky Lynch and says, Becky, will you be man enough to say thank you, Trish? Becky decks Trish. We get an all-out brawl. You know, it was what it was, and it ended up leading to Becky Lynch climbing the ladder and grabbing the briefcase. Crowd liked it. I don't know. I think that pretty much seals Becky's fate for Saturday. So, yeah, Becky Lynch grabs the briefcase. But, yeah, tonight it doesn't count. Carmelo Hayes with a little backstage promo with Kathy Kelly. And, you know, you could see he was obviously nervous. You know, he says, guys like me, guys like Seth, we got to take shots in order to make shots. And tonight I won't miss. You know, at the beginning, it was a little bit nervous, you could see, but then he started to get into the flow. Then we get another backstage segment. This time it is with Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. Rhea Ripley says to Becky, you better hope you don't win Money in a Bank this Saturday, because if you even think about cashing on me, that'll be the last thing you ever do. Becky Lynch kind of saying what we've been talking about here, and I know we're not the only ones saying it. You look at Rhea Ripley's title reign since WrestleMania, it is extremely unimpressive. Zelina Vega and Natalya, pretty much, that's what it is. So Becky says to Rhea that she finds it interesting because when she was champion and had that title, she main evented in every town. Becky Lynch calls Rhea Ripley a main event side piece. Becky says that she doesn't need the title. The title needs Becky. And when Becky wins that briefcase, she wants to win that briefcase just to see Rhea Ripley squirm. Good segment. We all appreciate Rhea Ripley. A lot of us feel that she is the number one woman in WWE right now. But you have to look at it a little bit closer and be a little bit honest and say, the fuck is WWE doing with her reign the first 3 months? And believe me, tonight it continued because we found out who her next opponent is for that championship. Oh, we'll get to it soon. We got to do this in order, though, because I have pictures, obviously. Sami Zayn versus Gunther. Kevin Owens doing commentary for a little bit. This match was an all-out banger. Sami Zayn, Gunther, killing it in this ring. These two guys killed it. Unfortunately, it started falling off the rails rather quickly. Giovanni Vinci makes his return tonight on crutches. Those crutches would come into play a little bit later on. Sami Zayn, a lot of offense towards the end of the match. It hits an exploder and sets up for the Huluva kick on Gunther. But here comes Giovanni Vinci with a crutch to the throat of Sami Zayn. That allows Gunther to hit a powerbomb onto Sami Zayn. We get the 1-2-3 win. After the match is over, a little post-match beatdown. Kevin Owens does come out from commentary, and he gets involved with it. And here comes the crippled guy, Riddle. But you know what? Give him props, man. He ran down that ring, but he limped as he was running. Believe me, when my ankle was swollen, actually, let me say it like this. Any of you out there ever twist an ankle and went on the beach anyway, and you're just like running through the sand, like trying to find like a cool area to put your feet, and you're just like limping and running at the same time? You ever see a dog that has like a cramp in their leg, and they're running and limping at the same time? Trust me, I have injured my ankle so many times over the years, and I still ran after the ice cream truck. So Riddle is running down the ring to the ringside, limping as well, and he's doing it right. He's limping the right way, not like Dana Brooke, with all due respect. Remember last week, we coined it, everyone. It's going to catch on eventually. Remember last year, a week after the All Out Media Scrum, hashtag Punk was right. Started at a week after that media scrum last year, and a lot of people feel that way now. I'm telling you, you're going to get that to be remembered, the Dana Brooke match, what happened in NXT, and that's awful. That is awful that we are almost 1 week since that match, and people in wrestling, some who have satellite TV shows, are still trashing the NXT fans and are leaving out the most important moment about what happened to Dana Brooke, which is allowing social media to still say, wow, that is so awful. Dana Brooke could have legitimately blew out her leg, and fans are chanting, nah, 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 nah. Those fans in attendance knew that it was storyline because the referee never called for the bell. When they put her on the, I know I'm a broken record, but when they put her on the stretcher and put the brace on and the second brace on and the trainers are there and Cora Jade is taunting Dana Brooke, the referee still never called the match. Everybody who was live in NXT knew that this was storyline, and that has been told to people that you all respect and I respect also, but obviously ratings and controversy sells more, and they are ignoring it intentionally. And I'm saying it on this show because not everybody tunes into every show I do, so I wanted to make sure I make that comment on every show because 1 week has gone by, and none of those people have come forward and said, you know what, guys? You know, most of those fans, a lot of them have said that, you know, they all believed that it was storyline because the referee never called for the bell. That's very fucking important because otherwise it sounds like everybody's vicious to Dana Brooke. But tonight, Matt Riddle did it right. Matt Riddle limps down to the ring and he gets involved. He hits the high knee, the right knee to Giovanni Vinci, grabs the crutch, smashes Vinci with the crutch. Enters the ring, starts smashing Gunther with the crutch. Gunther gets out of dodge. Kevin Owens hits a stunner on Ludwig Kaiser, which is almost turning into Nia Jax putting Lana through a table. Almost every other week, Kevin Owens has hit a stunner on Ludwig Kaiser. And Imperium gets out of dodge, and the good guys are standing tall in the ring. Would you like to know who Rhea Ripley's next opponent will be for the Women's Championship? This young lady cut a promo tonight. She still has doubts, but she wants another match. She wants another match. So next week on Raw, we get Natalya versus Rhea Ripley once again. This is not Rocky Balboa. Hey, yo, Mick, cut me, Mick. Cut me, Mick. Stay down. Stay down, Rock. No, no. If they're trying to play Rocky Balboa that Natalya keeps getting up, you know what? Instead of Mickey going, stay down, Rock, I'd be like, Apollo, kill him. I like Natty. Remember, do you remember the draft? USA Network versus Fox? And the best way I could describe that year is that they had the robot from Fox. Remember? We joked, but I said I think Natty was the best draft pick, I think, for Raw. I think she went to Raw. Yeah, she did go to Raw because I said, you know, Fox was happy because Natty got drafted to Raw. But Natty ended up in that year, I thought Natty was the most important draft pick for Raw because she is really, really good with helping the women stars of tomorrow. She is best suited now as a trainer. Got to be honest with you. You know, seeing her get WrestleMania matches and Saudi matches, she holds the world, I think, the Guinness record of the most matches in WWE. That's awesome. But at this point, if she's going to be on TV still, which I'm fine with, she's got to, you know, like, this is just a waste of time. And I'm sorry for saying it like that. The only reason why it's not a waste of time is because we're not getting two commercial breaks with Rhea Ripley and Natalya. Rhea Ripley is squashing her like a grape. That's the only consolation why I could accept this. But, we are 3 months almost since Rhea Ripley won that championship. And after the draft, the best you could do is a Zelina Vega match in Puerto Rico, in her home turf, and Natalya. Pretty much, that's all it's been. That's my problem with it. So if Rhea Ripley is going to be this vicious, cold, you know, like dominant person, just doing it to Rhea Ripley isn't going to cut it. And if we're going to use Rocky references again, remember Rocky III with Mr. T? Remember the video montage when Mr. T is beating the fuck out of every boxer and Rocky Balboa is like in the gym dancing, you know. I can't remember the song. His goofy brother sung it. But my point is, imagine if the whole video montage, the video package of Mr. T killing people is the same person every time. He's fighting Nat. Instead of Nat, he's fighting Nathaniel. Mr. P. This motherfucker keeps coming back. Finish her. This is like a Mortal Kombat video game. Rhea Ripley. Finish her.
Finish her.
Enough of this. Enough of this. I know Rhea Ripley, you know, Natty's past the prime. She doesn't know if she could do it anymore. This is all storyline, everyone. Let me make this clear. This is all storyline. When you do that on social media, people think it's cold. How could you say that? It's Natty's birthday. It's Saudi Arabia. She traveled 18,000 miles to lose in 30 seconds. It's a fucking job. She knew what she was doing. It's a job. Eat a Snickers, you know? But at this point now, we're 3 months. And what's Rhea Ripley doing? If she was been injured and she really can't do much, she can't leave her feet, okay, fine. If you don't want to leave her feet because you want her to be that dominant, unless she's facing like a Becky or a Raquel or a Charlotte or something, that's fine. But this is 3 months gone by. You know, this is kind of like what they were doing with Brock Lesnar. And the only reason why I don't even bring up Roman Reigns is because Roman Reigns it's fucking killed it for the last couple of years. So pulling back a little bit right now and letting other people, you know, get a little bit of shine is fine with me. Yes, fatality. This is my fatality. There you go. There you go. There's the little Mortal Kombat interaction. This is my fatality. And you have Natty laying on the floor. Video game blood. Video game blood. We talked more about Natalya here than we probably should have, to be honest with you. Carmelo Hayes, 5-minute match, if that, with Finn Balor. I will say this. Carmelo Hayes, smooth as silk. Smooth as silk. Guy, sorry for the instant replay, but the guy really showed that he is going to be a future star. You know, I know some people tonight, he looked like he belonged. No, because there's no room for him. Because you look at others, I mean, you look at Bobby Lashley, you look at other individuals. There's a lot of people that are not getting pushed right now. You could put Carmelo Hayes out there. What do you think he's going to do? Where do you think he's going to go? He has a feud with his friend Seth Rollins. How long does that last? 2-3 weeks? And then what do? You have him fight Johnny Gargano? He could take on JD McDonagh on main event. So you got to look at the bigger picture. Right now, Carmelo Hayes, best kept in NXT. Put on a great performance tonight. In the end, though, you had Finn Balor get the win. Finn Balor with the missile dropkick followed by the coup de grace. He gets the clean victory over Carmelo Hayes. Again, fast match, maybe a little bit too fast, but decent match nonetheless. And then we start wrapping up Raw. Cody Rhodes is in the back, and he's being interviewed by Kathy Kelly. But Cody Rhodes is not alone tonight. He's got Pharaoh. Hey, I'm a dog lover, obviously. So Cody's got his dog with him. And, you know, his dog is obviously very, very cute. And Kathy Kelly's interviewing him. And the funny thing is I see Cody, and he's smiling, and he's petting his dog. And anybody that's older, you know, that was, like, maybe hung out and did things outdoors before the internet came along, one of the things that everybody always used to want to do, tell me if I'm wrong, guys, admit it, that one of the things that people used to always love to do, and probably still in certain areas of the country, is they walk around in the park with their dog just to pick up people. You know, me, I'm heterosexual, so, you know, you bring your cute little dog to try to pick up girls. You want to pick up whatever you want to pick up, whatever floats your boat. But Cody with his dog, Kathy Kelly is there. What a cute dog. Oh, what's his name? Oh, he's so cute. Oh, I just want to kiss him all over. So she wants Cody to comment on either the match tonight or Dominic Mysterio. And Cody says that Damian Priest is walking into Money in a Bank with bruises on his ego. And he wishes he could do the same to Dominic Mysterio before Money in a Bank. But that's not going to happen. So now we get the match. We get Cody Rhodes versus Damian Priest. They both make their entrances. And they put up a great, great match. As we all expected, Dominic Mysterio, Rhea Ripley, show up. Dominic teases like we may finally get a little bit of physicality. This is my physicality. With Cody Rhodes and Dominic Mysterio, but chicken shit Dominic once again hides behind Rhea Ripley. There you go. I love chicken shit Dom. So he hides behind Rhea Ripley, distracts Cody Rhodes a few times. Towards the latter part of the match, we get some dueling offense, dueling super kicks. Rhea Ripley distracts the referee. Dominic Mysterio grabs Cody Rhodes' ankle, preventing him from doing a Cody cutter from the middle rope. Damian Priest hits the South of Heaven, but only for a two count. Then Dominic Mysterio distracts the referee. Damian Priest picks up Cody Rhodes, tries to hit him with the razor's edge, but Cody falls down, pushes Damian Priest into Dominic Mysterio. Dominic Mysterio falls to the floor, and this was nice. Cody Rhodes, ooh, whoa. Oh, because I right-clicked it. There you go. I'm getting used to it. There you go. Beautiful. Look at how far he went. I mean, he got some launch out of that. He hits the Cody cutter on Damian Priest, then nails Crossroads, gets the 1-2-3. If you've watched closely, Damian Priest has lost quite a few matches. Quite a few. Will he be the winner of Money in the Bank? It's either going to come down to him or LA Knight, in my opinion. But Cody Rhodes picks up the win. After the match is over, Dominic Mysterio with one last cheap shot. One final cheap shot to Cody Rhodes before he exited. But in the end, Cody Rhodes picks up the victory, and we go off the air with Cody Rhodes on top. A lot of people think that Brandi Rhodes may actually get involved if Rhea Ripley is at ringside. Because remember, it's Dominic Mysterio is in this match. Why wouldn't Rhea be there? Rhea Ripley doesn't have a match. I think it makes sense that Brandi Rhodes get involved. I think the problem is you open Pandora's box. I wouldn't mind seeing Brandi Rhodes for a one-time only appearance. But when you do stuff like that, it's usually at a WrestleMania. Like, if you put that out there, Money in the Bank, you know it's going to follow. There's going to be a decent number of people on social media going to be like, oh, we need an intergender match. We need a mixed tag match. Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes. WWE, book the match. Take my money. Maybe that's kind of exaggerating, but you know that's going to be everywhere. Unless they're going to do that, I wouldn't bring Brandi Rhodes out there. Honestly, I wouldn't even bring her out there. Hey, look, we haven't seen Brandi Rhodes in the ring for a while. We don't know if she's been training wrestling. We know that she's home. We know that she's out and about. We know that she's doing things. We don't know if her wrestling ability has gotten better. We don't know if she even wants to do that. I will say this, and I think a lot of you will agree with me on this. If you think back, legitimately think back to AEW days when they were there, man, did it feel like Brandi Rhodes wanted to be on TV every fucking week. Do you remember the locker room segments with her and Karma with Awesome Kong? Do you remember all the voodoo stuff? Like, it felt like a bad episode of the CW network. Remember when we were talking about that? I mean, she was all over the fucking TV. Jade Cargill, you know, I'll kick your ass, bitch. Like, how do you go from that extreme to being fine with not being on TV at all? I mean, what did WWE tell Cody Rhodes? Hey, here's an extra mil. Tell your wife to stay home. I don't believe that's happened. I just can't believe that Brandi Rhodes doesn't have the bug to go out there and do it. I'm a little surprised, to be honest with you. Do I want to see it? No. If she got better, that's fine. By the way, I had to show you something. Because we're almost done, but I had to show you something. I've talked about this 2 weeks in a row. Cody Rhodes is killing it, making merchandise money with WWE and autographs, collectibles. It is insane how much money Cody Rhodes is making. I don't have dollar figures. I don't have that kind of access. But what I've talked about is, and we talked about over the weekend as well, every town that Cody Rhodes appears in with WWE, they have custom shirts. They have custom items that he, and today, this is Cody Rhodes preparing for Savannah, Georgia. This is today. He is just signing. Look at all the belts in the corner. Those belts, think of how much those belts are. I honestly think, and I'm not just saying this, I honestly think that when Cody inked his deal with WWE, that some of this merchandise that he gets a bigger portion of, that he is just bad. It can't be that WWE's banging out this much merchandise for only one person, because honestly, I know they do it for Roman, but if you, I mean, we, let's be honest. Do you think Roman Reigns is sitting back in the dressing room and signing all those photos? I mean, we've seen a few wrestlers do it, but if I'm wrestlers on a WWE roster, I'd be kind of jealous or a little bit annoyed that every show, Cody is signing like 500 things, and the best you could do is get an autographed card on eBay. So it is really, really lopsided right now. Right now, freaking Cody Rhodes is killing it in merchandise money. It's amazing how much money this guy is making. Seriously, if you look at it every week. And Cody posted on social media. I mean, we could show video every week of Cody signing hundreds of things for upcoming shows. And fans are buying it. Fans are paying the money. So believe me when I tell you, when you hear some noise that Cody is not over, and I'm not this gigantic Cody fan. Let's be honest, I'm not. I mean, I'm a fan of what he's doing the last year and a half, 2 years. But he's not one of, you know, my preferences. Anybody that says that he's not over and he's not the top guy in this and that, yeah, Roman Reigns is the top guy. But outside of Roman Reigns, Cody's number two. And Seth Rollins is a distant, distant third. So, maybe I could brighten up your day with this. Anybody remember that moment on Raw? This week in wrestling history, we got more Booker T and Goldust doing some funny-ass shit, man. This week's history show, well, all I got to do is show you a couple of screenshots. Hell in a Cell, Mick Foley, The Undertaker, need I say more? This week in wrestling history, WCW fired Ric Flair. You know, I saw some people on social media oohing and aahing that it was this big anniversary of Muhammad Ali versus Antonio Inoki. What they all seem to have left out is that the match sucked. All of the news stories that weren't getting hand jobs from wrestlers who have had bad days, they all were trashing it in the newspapers. And not only that, Muhammad Ali, I believe, lost one of his boxing licenses as a result of that match with Antonio Inoki. It's this week in history that The Undertaker and John Cena, remember with Kurt Angle? Kurt Angle, hey, he's wearing a crown. There's a very important moment that I'm going to show you in a minute that is very important this week in wrestling history. Jeff Hardy, one of the greatest Raw matches in its history. Jeff Hardy versus The Undertaker. What was it, for the hardcore title? Or the Intercontinental title, I believe it was. No, it's a World Heavyweight title. What am I saying? And Undertaker, I remember, I'm still standing. That match, you listen to it, it is incredible. It was absolutely awesome. Ric Flair, not only taking on Kurt Angle, but also took up Brock Lesnar this week in wrestling history. Not at the same time, I should add. We also got Brawl for It All. There you go. Look at Seth Rollins. Look at him. He looks so young. Waylon Mercy, one of my favorite fucking characters of all time. Waylon Mercy, man. But nobody's talking about it yet. It is the anniversary of that. The Pipe Bomb. We will revisit it this week in wrestling history. Everything I showed you and a lot more. Lots of audio, lots of highlights, lots of stories that you have never heard before. You know, I don't just read results and play clips. I did a crazy amount of research for these history shows. You'll learn a lot of things that you probably didn't know before. But that is a little quick photo preview for this week in wrestling history. Main event results from tonight, JD McDonagh over Apollo Crews and Katana Chance wrestling in singles competition, defeating Emma. Tomorrow for NXT Gold Rush, I think I have a preview. Yes, I do have a preview. We're going to have Carmelo Hayes defending the NXT Championship against Baron Corbin. We also have Tiffany Stratton defending the NXT Women's Championship against Thea Hale. We have Gallus defending the Tag Team Championships against Malik Blade and Idris Inofi. We have Nathan Frazer defending the Heritage Cup against Dragon Lee. And then we got Gigi Dolin. Hey, where's my Gigi Dolin? Hold on. We cannot end this show without a Gigi Dolin appearance. Hold on. There's your Gigi Dolin. There's your Gigi Dolin appearance. Gigi Dolin will be taking on Kiana James. Tell you, they changed up Kiana's look a little bit, but at some points, a lot of people thought that Kiana looked like a very young Stephanie McMahon. If you ever look at Kiana James's nose, and I know this is going to sound weird to younger fans out there, but there's something about Stephanie McMahon when she smiles or smirks. Certain creases in her nose and her cheekbones, if you look at Kiana James, it is identical. It is identical, but they're going to have a match as well. Again, Gigi Dolan and JC Jane, they split them up. They haven't been the same. I get it. It would be a really dumb storyline to put them together this quickly, but I think it's going to happen. I think it's got to happen. Unless you put JC Jane with Tony D'Angelo, which I thought was something they should have done a long time ago. She should have been a Guidette. She should have been like the woman from My Cousin Vinny. That was her name. I almost said Mariah Carey. What, Marissa Tomei. Like, she should have been like the Marissa Tomei to Joe Pesci. She would be the perfect Italian Guidette for Tony D'Angelo and the family. But I think it's too late now. They've progressed too far with it for a character. Wednesday's Dynamite, they don't have much available as of yet. Sting and Darby Allin will be taking on Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho in a Tornado tag team match. Remember the Triple C that we talked about yesterday? Chaos, Clusterfuck, Crackerjack Surprise. Every week, you got to have Triple C's. That, and fans, I think, are starting to get a little bit numb to it. When every week, there's got to be some element of that. Britt Baker will be taking on Ruby Soho in the Owen Hart tournament. And we're going to find out all the brackets for the Blind Eliminator tournament to get a title shot for the AEW tag titles. So that is what has been announced. And we'll see what happens with Jungle Boy. We had a fun sit-down episode last night. We did a live sit-down, even though Forbidden Door was on. And, man, that was a fun show. The chat room was insane last night. We had a real good conversation about Jungle Boy. And I think what we talked about is going to happen. I think everything that we said yesterday is going to happen. And let's take it one step further. Will he reunite with Christian Cage and Luchasaurus? Not sure about that. But if you remember 2 weeks ago when he realigned with Hook, I said on Wednesday Night Dynamite, wait, didn't Jungle Boy say earlier in the year that he wants to go for gold and he doesn't want to be a tag team wrestler? So I think that's got to be brought up when he cuts his promos. Here's some ratings. Collision's rating will be out Tuesday. So last week they did 816. Honestly, I think that rating goes down a little bit. Not that this week, I think this week's Collision was better than the week before, but I honestly think that it's going to go down a little bit. SmackDown this past Friday did 2,354,000, slightly down from the week prior's 2,430,000, but keep in mind the week prior, Jey Uso kicked Roman Reigns and, you know, the rest is history. Rampage this past Friday did 391,000. That is down from 423. Impact Wrestling this past Thursday, they're starting to get stuck in the mud again. 101,000. And not only that, for those that care about demos, I don't talk about demos here unless it's something that really deserves to be mentioned. Remember WWE recently, I think on SmackDown, like part of their night, their demo for 18 to 49 was like a 0.70. It might have even been higher than that. Think of this. Impact Wrestling this past Thursday, that 18 to 49 demo was a 0.1. Almost 70 times less than WWE. A 0.1. You can't get any lower. There were 15, 20 years ago, AAA, and that's because it was on a Spanish station, and not many people, who, unless you were Spanish or into Mexican wrestling, you know, they would get 0.00 in demos. They would get like less than 1,000 people tuning in. It's crazy that Impact is scoring that low. New Japan this week did 61,000, slightly up from the week prior's 57,000. Last week's Dynamite did 902, up from the week prior's 832. NXT last week, oh, I got to share this with you. Let me pull it up. NXT last week did 773,000 viewers, up from the week prior's 581. Yes, Seth Rollins was going to defend the WWE World Championship against Bron Breakker, but that final quarter hour with Seth Rollins versus Bron Breakker, that quarter hour for NXT did 950,000 viewers. Very, very strong. Seth Rollins brought in the numbers for NXT. And in comparison, SmackDown this past Friday. Remember, you know, everything that... Well, actually, no, let me... Actually, I want to tell you this one. The night that Jey Uso kicked Roman Reigns, told his brother Jimmy, "You're out, and I'm out too." Then he kicked Roman Reigns. I had to bring this up because I got it. That final quarter hour, they had almost a 500,000 viewership increase just for that quarter hour. It almost did 2.8 million viewers. And I want to share one more. And this is not to rag on AEW Dynamite, but it's definitely something that we should mention. I already talked about last week how the concession brawl with Jeff Jarrett and Mark Briscoe was the highest rated segment of the show, which is kind of disturbing because, again, it falls into the triple C's, crackerjack, clusterfuck, chaos. That should not be your high points of your shows. I wanted to share you this. Last week we had Orange Cassidy and Shibata versus Zack Sabre Jr. and Daniel Garcia. A lot of people thought that match was awesome. Do you know almost 150,000 fans turned off AEW during that match? It was the biggest drop of the entire night. Just for that match, they dropped. And for anybody that's going to say to me, well, there were other things that went, no, the match actually started in the previous quarter. And the previous quarter would have been the highest quarter of the night if it wasn't for that match. It would have topped Jarrett versus Mark Briscoe. And that previous quarter was MJF and Adam Cole in the ring when Adam Cole wanted the rematch and then they found out they were going to be tag partners in this blind tournament. If that tag match didn't take place in that quarter, that would have been the highest quarter of the night. Fans, more than 150,000, started turning it off. They had no interest in seeing it. So I only say that is because, yes, there is a hardcore core audience for AEW that loves that Japanese aspect, but understand that is not the majority of your audience. So when you see some noise online that, you know, paint the picture, you know, it definitely worth paying attention to what people are saying. At the same time, though, you got to look and see what is turning on your fans and what is turning off your fans. And just because, let me put it like this. If Dana Brooke, you remember when we used to do the quarter hour breakdowns for NXT? We used to talk about how the Grizzled Young Veterans would have like 200,000 viewership drops. Tyler Breeze and Fandango would have huge drops in the ratings in NXT. And there were others. And ultimately, they all got dropped. Grizzled Young Veterans were repackaged, obviously. My point is this. If you have a wrestler have a 200,000-300,000 viewership drop, that means you have hundreds of thousands of people that are just saying, you know what, I want to watch something else. I want to do something else. It's not even, let me go make a snack and you leave the TV on. That's different. You want to go make popcorn, a Hot Pocket, take a shit, go check the mail, check your voicemail, go on the internet, check email, and it's still playing in the background? That doesn't hurt the rating. You have hundreds of thousands of people that are turning off the show. You can't turn around and say, well, even though Dana Brooke lost 250,000 viewers, 350,000 was still watching. What does that mean? you know, there's always going to be people watching. But when you see that big decline, that's got to be of concern. So, okay. I think we're out of here. You know what? Let me give you the updated lineup for Money in the Bank, in case anybody is not completely aware of the full card right now. On the men's Money in the Bank ladder match side, we have Ricochet versus Nakamura, LA Knight, Santos Escobar, Butch, Damian Priest, and Logan Paul. On the women's side, we have Zelina Vega, Becky Lynch, Zoe Stark, Bayley, Trish Stratus, and Io Sky. They're not revisiting the Shotzi situation. And honestly, we are fans of Shotzi, but that whole story was stupid. I don't know who came up with it. You know what's funny about that? How would the IWC would have reacted if we found out that the idea of Bayley putting the Money in the Bank spot on the line against Shotzi and Io Sky is the one that did it? How would the IWC react if we find out that that was Vince's idea and Triple H scrapped it? Maybe that's why nobody's talking about it. You know why nobody's talking about it? Because everybody said that Vince changed up SmackDown. The whole storyline with Shotzi getting a possible shot in Money in the Bank was stupid. And if Vince is the one that came up with that idea and it was scrapped, that should be a good thing. Vince does not hate Shotzi. I have never heard that at all. Cody Rhodes taking on Dominic Mysterio. Seth Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Finn Balor. Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler defending the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. Gunther will be defending the WWE Intercontinental Championship against Matt Riddle. A little surprised that Austin Theory doesn't have a match on this card. Maybe that'll change. And the Bloodline, Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa, will be taking on the Usos, what they are calling the Bloodline Civil War. So that is what we got for Money in the Bank. So one last reminder, Kevin Castle and yours truly will be live Tuesday night on Patreon, patreon.com/DonTony, in case you want to tune in. And we will be doing preview and predictions. We'll also talk a little bit beyond Money in the Bank, where we think some of this is going to go into SummerSlam. Do you think Brock Lesnar would make the trip to Money in the Bank and get involved with Cody Rhodes? Maybe F5 him after the match is over? I don't think so. I can't picture. I mean, look, Saudi Arabia, it's different. The Crown Prince, oh, we need the Brock Lesnar. They pay big money for Brock to be there. I don't hear no UK ministers saying, we'd love to. I can't impersonate. I can't do British. And by the way, I'll say this before we leave. I'll talk about it more on Wednesday. There's this loud controversy online right now about Toni Storm calling Willow Nightingale a cow after her match. For my UK and British fans out there, you already know what I'm about to say. But for everyone else out there that is seeing that, and people trying to get that trending and trying to make it into a big-time controversy, understand Toni Storm, if I understand correctly, she is New Zealand and Australian, I think. She's definitely New Zealand, and that's a British colony. Cow is slang, and it is used overseas for the term idiot more than anything else. And the thing also is, when Toni Storm called Willow Nightingale a cow at Forbidden Door, she actually called her an idiot or stupid right before that. So for people out there that are immediately thinking that Toni Storm was making fun of Willow Nightingale's physique, Yeah, you might be wrong on this one. So go look it up. And you know what's sad about it? There are a couple of people on social media. We won't mention any names, but you will be able to figure out who they are very quickly. There are a few people on social media who were told already that Toni Storm was referencing her being an idiot more than anything else. That is slang overseas. And yet they're still pushing that Toni Storm was making fun of Willow's physique. That just goes to show you the disingenuous people out there that are just looking for attention. And that's fucked up. That's fucked up because now you got a whole bunch of fans thinking that Toni Storm called Willow Nightingale a fat blimp. And if you would have just said, oh, no, that's slang in the UK, you know, for idiot, then people would have forgot about it. And maybe talked about Omega and other matches, or talk about Punk, or talk about other things. But no, they got to focus on that because they think that they're doing something good. Weird. Fucked up in the head, man. All right, everybody. I'm out of here. Much love as always. Hope you enjoyed this show. If you liked it, smash that thumbs up. If you know anyone else out there that liked the channel, let them know about it. DonTony.com. That is the lifeline of everything I do here. Without that, none of this exists. Shout out to everybody who's going to join us live tomorrow. And again, if you're not part of our Patreon family, no worries. DonTony.com will have the preview and predictions in its entirety for everyone. And then Thursday, oh, by the way, Thursday, the next Q&A will be recorded and posted. And our channel members here on YouTube are actually the ones giving the content for that episode. So I hope you all like it. Got some very interesting stuff to talk about on that episode, so that'll be coming too. And then by the end of the week, I will let you know how we're going to handle the recap of Money in the Bank. I believe Kev Castle will be joining me. The only thing that we're not sure about is next Tuesday. Next Tuesday is the 4th of July. Most of us hang out with family, friends, barbecue, celebrate, you know, the anniversary of our country. But we usually do the show at 10 o'clock at night. So by then, we're pretty much done with the festivities. So I will touch base with Kev tomorrow to see if he wants to do it next Tuesday night. We may actually end up doing it next Monday afternoon and posting it online Tuesday morning. This way, if you're hanging out during the 4th of July, you're not doing nothing, then you could enjoy the episode during the day. So I got to talk to him and see what his schedule looks like. And then by the end of the week, I'll have it flooded everywhere. I'll mention it on the shows, post it on Patreon, post it on Twitter, YouTube. You'll know. So everyone, have a good night. Be well. Definitely post your comments. What did you think about Raw? What are you looking forward to Money in the Bank? You know, your predictions. I mean, I know we do contests on Patreon and for channel members, but, you know, post your predictions in the comment section. Get some bragging rights. You know, people look back at it like, wow, you nailed it. So definitely post your feedback. So everyone, it's been real. Much love. I'll catch you all again tomorrow.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now, Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.